Perfect timing. He filled up about the time y'all are finished. Kind of way it goes around here for 15 years. Seems like sometimes we've flown by the seat of our pants, but God always does things right on time. And I wanted to say thank you guys a lot. For those of you guys that really know me, know I don't like to be kind of the center of attention. As a matter of fact, I probably didn't even want to be your pastor in the beginning. I like it now. And October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And, you know, there's lots of days I have to tell you I don't want to be your pastor. Have my doubts. And don't like the attacks on my family at all. But the last few days, you guys have been sending me notes and cards, and it's real encouraging. And I appreciate you. And hope you'll give me another 15 years here. Well, we're doing this Raising Amazing Kids. We've been in it a few weeks now, and today we're going to be talking about purpose-driven kids and this week and the next. And the whole reason, you know, about this whole human race thing, the whole reason that the human race exists is because God wanted a family. If he hadn't have wanted a family, there would be no such thing as the human race. He created this planet for us. You know, we've talked about it before. If the axis on the earth was just 1 degree this way, we'd burn up. And if it was 1 degree the other way, we'd freeze to death. Guys, that wasn't an accident. That was a custom design. This earth was created to sustain life. A life that he created because God wanted a family. He didn't need one, he wanted one. You know, because having this family, it lets God display his glory and lets God display his love. And that's what the Bible says about God, is he is love. And this family that I'm talking about is the church. It's the church. No matter what sign is on your door, no matter how you do it, it's the church. And he loves it. And the children of God, his family, are going to live with him forever. I got a couple of verses up at the top. It says, God is the one who made all things, and all things are for his glory. He wanted to have many children share his glory. Guys, when you share something, it's multiplied. And God wanted to share his glory. Now, God could have just instantly created us. He could have just populated heaven. But instead, he created earth because he wanted a family that chooses to love him. He didn't want robots. So he involved us, you and I, in the creation of his family. He didn't just want puppets. Because it's only love if you choose to love. We're created in his image. But he lets us make choices. I like to make choices, don't you? Malachi 2:15-16 says this: God made husbands and wives to become didn't think there was anything else down there I needed to get while I was there. You don't want to make more than one trip. You don't have to. God made husbands and wives to become one body and one spirit for his purpose. So they would have children who are true to God. So be careful and do not break your promise to the wife you married when you were young. God says, I hate divorce. Did you know that marriage is God's idea? Sex is God's idea. Thank you. I mean, I was glad of that. You know, whether it's food, sex, fire, everything that God creates for his purpose is holy. Everything. Sex ain't dirty. It's holy. It's holy. That's why the Bible says that it is to be limited to one man and one woman who are married together. It's God's purpose. It's his purpose. It says God hates divorce because God don't want to see people hurt. He hates it when people hurt. He doesn't like it when a gift that he has given is used incorrectly. All of that's holy. If God gives it, it's holy. Now, the reason I share these two verses is I want you to see the eternal significance of marriage, of sex, of parenting. It's eternal. It's eternal. You know, this is God's chosen tool to populate his kingdom this way. So when people treat sex as an animal instinct, they've missed the whole point. They've missed the whole point. When they treat a marriage as though it's disposable and they can just throw it away every 2 or 3 years, they've missed the whole point. We've missed the whole point. But God lets us make choices. And sometimes we make some bad ones. But that's why I'm thankful for mercy and grace and forgiveness. Do you know what the very first commandment that God ever made was? The book of Genesis, the very first commandment, he said, be fruitful and multiply. Well, we're doing all right in that one. It may be the only commandment that we followed. 7 billion people, over 7 billion people on the earth. And you know, I used to think when my kids left home that my parenting duties would be over. It's not over. It just gets more complex, I believe. Because then they may come back. But actually, your family grows and grandchildren and great grandchildren. And then they all got problems because then there's in-laws. Everything just gets more complex. And what I realize is if your kids are alive, you're still a parent. If whether they're 5 or 50, you're still a parent. Well, what's my role now? If you're, you know, however old your children are. Well, this verse says, I've got where it said, well, I've got where I was at. So they would have children who are true to God. That's my role. So that our children would still be true to God. How do you do that? How do you have children that are still true to God? How do you have kids, grandchildren, nieces, nephews that are still true to God? I want you to write these down and fill in these blanks. And I'm going to tell you what this here might just relieve a lot of you of some guilt in your life. Write this: I'm responsible to my kids, but I'm not responsible for my kids. I'm responsible to my kids. I'm not responsible for my kids. I'm not responsible for their choice. I'm responsible to them. You know, because God gives, believe it or not, God gives them the freedom to make stupid choices. Dumb choices. I'm responsible to my kids to love them, to teach them, to protect them, to encourage them, and to be there for them. But I am not responsible for everything that they do in their life and their choices. I'm just not responsible. Wouldn't you agree that God was a perfect parent? Would everybody agree with me on that? God was a perfect parent, and Adam still blew it. He still blew it. So I believe that can release some guilt. But legitimate guilt is when you weren't there to be responsible to your kids. Legitimate guilt is when you just wasn't there. But illegitimate guilt is when you blame yourself for their choices. So the next 2 weeks I want to talk about five conversations that you and I, regardless if you're a parent or you got a kid in your life, a niece, a grandchild, a nephew, there's about five conversations that you need to have with some kids in your life. We're going to talk about two of them today and three of them the next. I don't care whether they're 5 or 50 years old or 60 years old. You need to have these five conversations with them. You need to talk about five truths that you must help your kids and kids in your life understand and believe. Then I'm going to give you five questions that you must help kids ask and help them answer. The first truth, we're going to just talk about two of them today. The first truth that I want you to talk to your kids about is, here's the truth. I was planned for God's pleasure. I was planned for God's pleasure. I want you to teach your kids that God made me to love me and enjoy me. I want them to know that God made them to enjoy. Any parents know this. You take pleasure in your kids, watching them play and grow up. You know, Luke would probably just weird out if he knew I did this every morning, but I watch him sleep. 16 years old. And I love to just crack the door and stand there and just watch him sleep. I believe I was sitting there watching him this morning. I said, if he was 60, I'd still like to watch him sleep. Just watch him breathe. I believe God likes to watch us sleep. But I think the first thing that a kid needs to know is that God created them for him to love. He created me to love me. Revelations 4:11 says, you, God, created everything, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created. Guys, you need to teach that to your children. Tell them at a very, very early age, you were made by God and for God and for his pleasure. Because until they understand this, life ain't going to make sense. They're not even going to know why they were here. Isaiah 44:2, I really love this one. I am your creator. You are in my care even before you were born. Teach that to your children, that God thought you up, Michaela. God thought you up. There is accidental parents, but there are no accidental children. God thought you up. Your parents may not have planned you, but God did. Rick Warren has a wonderful saying that I love that says, there are illegitimate parents, but there are no illegitimate children. Because you were in God's care before you were born, will you? You were in God's care before you were born. You know, Tom, God was more interested in you being born than your parents' parenting skills. You were in His care before you were born. Your parents may have been good. Your parents may have been just terrible. But they had just the right DNA together for you. And God used them to create you. And that's why you're here, so He can love you. You're alive because God wanted to love you. And that's good news. He said, I am your creator. God loves you. He ain't moody. God's love isn't based on who you are. It's based on who He is. And believe me, you can't make God stop loving you. You can try to make Him stop loving you, but you will fail. You were planned for His pleasure. Now, He gave us this capacity to love Him back. It's called worship. Miss Jackie Sanjulo was worshiping God this morning. She arrived at church this morning with pain in her chest. And she began to worship God, and the pain left. I don't know how you believe, but I choose to believe that as she was loving Him back, He healed her. To love Him back. That's all worship is. To love Him back. So the first question, I got a question for you that your kids are going to have to come to grips with. And the first one here, if you're filling in your blank, is the question that they're going to have to come to grips with is, what will be the center of my life? You're going to have to ask this question to your kids. What will be the center of your life? Then they're going to need to answer. Because whatever is at the center of your life is what or whom you worship. You know, because the question is, who am I going to live for? Because as a child growing up into adulthood, they got lots of options. They can choose to worship what other people think. They can choose to worship sports, school, family, career, fun. Collecting things. And there's nothing wrong with any of these things. They just don't belong in the center. They don't belong in your focus. God wants you and I to enjoy life, but none of that stuff belongs in the center. Because none of this stuff will hold you together when the heat's on. None of this will. Only God can do that. Only Him can do that. And you need something that you can't lose, you know, when the pressure's on in your life. You can lose a spouse. You can lose money. You can lose a career. You can lose good looks. But you need to teach your children God is the center of their life, he can't be lost. He can't be lost. He can't be taken from them. Well, Jim, how do you know what's at the center of your life? How do you know? Simple answer. What do you think about the most? What do you think about the most? That's at the center of your life. Matthew 22 says this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. This is the first thing that you teach your kid. Am I going to live a self-centered life? Or am I going to live a God-centered life? This is a fundamental issue of life itself. Like I said, all that stuff is okay. It just don't need to be the center. Because when we become a Christian, Jesus ain't just a piece of pie. He's the filling. He's the filling. Jeremiah 32:39 says, I will give them a single-minded purpose in life, to honor me for all time, for their own good and for the good of their children. Teach your kids that to learn to love God is not just for their own good, it's for their children and their children. Remember when we talked about a multi-generational blessing? If we teach our kids to love God, our great-grandchildren will love them. And then when our kids get this, when they get this and they know this, that they were created for God to love them and to love him back, no matter what the teacher says, no matter if the teacher don't like them, no matter if they don't make the team, they will be secure in God's love. They just got to get this. Well, how can you tell? How can you tell when your kids do not have God at the center? At the center of their life. How can you tell? One word. Worry. 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 Worry is the sign, 100%, nothing else, that at that moment, God is not at the center of your life. A good example for me, last night, when they went into overtime, I was worried. Oh man, I was worried. I was praying, but I was worried. I was praying for Tennessee. Then I thought, well, there's a bunch of yahoos praying for Georgia too. I guess we saw who his favorite was last night. But it hit me, and it was just like this, you know, Lee's talked about it before, it's this warning light that comes on. And that's what worry is. You know, like when you run out of gas or something, it says low fuel, low fuel. Worry is this warning light that says, hey, you don't have God at the center of your life. You don't have God at the center of your life. You may be thinking more of what others think. Hey, you got sports at the center of your life. Hey, you got your good looks at the center of your life, and that's going to be taken from you. Hey, look at me. It's a warning sign. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, instead of worry, pray. Pray. And what that does is you let Christ displace that worry which is at the center of your life. Christ becomes back at the center of your life. Teach your kids to put Christ at the center of their life. I'm going to tell you, then you're going to see less worry at school and they'll be less fearful. Because anytime you worry, something else has replaced Christ at the very center. So teach them to put him back. The second truth that you want to have this conversation with your kids is you want to say you were formed for God's family. You were formed for God's family. You want to look at your kid and say, you're not an accident. You were formed for God's family. You're not a leftover. You're not a zero. You were formed for God's family. I'm going to tell you something, guys. This gives people's life value. It gives your life worth. It doesn't matter if you don't have talent. It doesn't matter if you're not smart. It doesn't matter if you don't have any looks, you know. God made you to be you, and he wants you to be you. He wired you that way. And he also wants you to be in his family forever. That's why I'm more keen on adoption than, say, an orphanage. Because kids don't need institutions. Kids need parents. They need parents, whether it's foster families or adopted families. You know, Ephesians 1:5 says this: his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. If anybody ever asks you if you're adopted, yep. You and I, if we're Christians, we're adopted. Because I'm going to tell you something, physical families don't last. Physical families die. Physical families split up. But God's family's forever. It's forever. And God never meant for you to go through life alone. God hates loneliness. That's why he created the church. His family. You know, and you know, we're going to do two things in heaven. We're going to love God, and we're going to love his family. And he wants us to practice those two things here on earth, to love God and to love his family, so when we do get to heaven, we won't look like some doofus that don't know how to do it. We want to practice to love God and his family. So the second question that you ought to ask your kids and get them to answer it is this: who will be my companions in life? Who will be my companions in life? This is the first was a question of worship, and this is a question of fellowship. And guys, this is really important, because I believe the whole room would stand up if I were to ask people to stand up and if they ever messed up and the reason was hanging out with the wrong companions. I believe everyone would stand up if their life was messed up because of the wrong companions. And I want to tell you something about you control freaks like me. The moment your kids start going to school, you no longer have the primary influence in their life. Especially as they get older. The older they get, the more peer pressure they're going to have. And I'm going to tell you something. Kids are going to be part of a group. They're going to be part of a group. The question is, will it be a good group or will it be a bad group? No kid is going to be a complete loner unless it's not their choice. They're going to be part of a group. Will it be a good group or will it be a bad group? Guys, that's why we put major resources and time and people into kid stuff, into XP, into Awana, into Upward Basketball. We pump money into our kids because it's important. It's one of the most important things that we will do. Because we care about the next generation. So the question is, who will I hang out with? We as parents got to teach the importance of who and that they hang out with and the impact that it'll have on their life later on. To choose good friends. And be careful who you hang out with, young people. It's easy to be pulled down. But I want you to hang out with folks that can pull you up. To be encouraged. Every kid is wired to belong. For that matter, is every adult is wired to belong to a group. He just wired us that way. 1 Corinthians 15:33, this is a neat verse. Do not be fooled. Bad companions ruin good character. Bad companions ruin good character. Guys, the kind of friends that they choose are either going to hold them back or it's going to help them succeed. Choose the right friends. Here's something else. This may be just more important. Cut off the relationships that tear them down. Cut them off. As a matter of fact, you can go to school and just tell them, my pastor said I can't be friends with you right now because you tear me down. If they're tearing you down, cut them off. Life's hard enough. Cut them off. Let me just read Psalm 1:1. I know some of you saying that's kind of harsh. But I tell you because I love you. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. I'm going to tell you, I sat there at the homecoming. I got to come down and so many young people, you know, and I got to say, you know, the human side of me, I sure was proud. A lot of them was from North Point. The prettier ones was from North Point. And I was really proud. There was a lot of them from North Point. And I listened, and one of our goals, and I know mine is to make it cool to be part of North Point. That the kids can say, yeah, I go there instead of there. I'm not talking about another church. I'm just saying, I go over there than hang out, you know, in the parking lot somewhere. Those guys up at that church, they're all right. And so I want them to be companions to each other. I want them to look forward to Sunday night at XP and say, that's my group. That's who I hang out with. Because, guys, they're going to hang out with a group. And I want it to be this one. The church. Since we're all one body in Christ, we belong to each other. And each of us needs all the others. Guys, we got to teach our kids to love the church. And we need each other. The world's teaching the opposite. We're in this society now of me, that I'm what matters, me. And our kids are out there on their own. But the truth is, for me and you to be healthy, we need each other. We need each other. A couple of things for you to talk to your kids about. I hope you'll do that this week. And I'll give you three more next. I guess that's all I got. I want to pray for us, and I'm going to ask Darren to come back here, and I'm going to ask you guys to stay. You know, there ain't many times an adult man comes to me before the service and says, you know, Jim, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I need to be baptized. You know, not knocking the women or the little kids, because I love to baptize. But man, when God gets a leader of the house, when he gets a, you know, a grown adult male, odds are he wouldn't have made it. I really believe, I'm just goofy enough to believe, that we can make a huge impact in this place. In Adairsville, in Carsville, Bartow County, in Gordon, in the state of Georgia, in the world. I really believe that there's power here and that we can tap into it. And it starts with one person at a time, one country at a time. I really believe we're going to make history. I don't think we're satisfied to watch it being made. Darren, come on as I pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. I thank you for decisions made. And Lord, I do pray for our young people that they begin to evaluate their relationships and say, is this good for me or is it bad for me? And I pray as the parents and the uncles and the aunts and the grandparents, as they have these conversations and they say, hey, did you know you were formed for God's pleasure? Did you know, Kyler, that God loves you? And that's the reason you're here? He just wants to love you. Man, stuff starts to happen then. God starts to move. And I thank you for moving, Lord. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.